It's really great to be back in front of y'all. I've been waiting all summer for this. I am so thrilled to be here. Okay, ask me the same questions you asked me 15 years ago. It's like sixth grade. We're going to go around the room and what was your summer vacation? What did you do? Actually, it's beginning of every year is exciting. You know, everybody thinks they have the best team in the world and you're going to do everything great. And it's a good time of year, so, and the weather gets better, so we're all happy to be here.
Are you shocked at the progress Tony has made? Where it looks like he's
around? Well, he's, you know, Tony's come along a lot more quickly than one would have expected, so I'm not shocked because he's worked so hard at it, but it's good news. The sooner the better. Honestly, I did not, and I didn't really encourage him. You know, I mean, I'm sure at some point I told him that we'd love to have him back, but in a situation like that, I don't think it would have been a good idea to convince him to come back. When you're 53 years old and you're trying to decide whether to play again, you need to talk to your family and do that on your own. It's got to be for the right reasons and, you know, with some time taken, which he did during the summer. Once he did say he was coming back, I was thrilled because he actually, you know, he played well. He's taken great care of his body. He worked very hard this summer. And his leadership, you know, is beyond the pale. So it's all good as long as he's in the program.
Coach, this is a strange time in American culture where sports and politics are intertwined. I wanted to ask you your perspective. I'm sure you saw what happened over the weekend with NFL players kneeling during the national anthem. And I'm sure you've seen the comments from our president. What's your perspective on right now this time where politics and professional sports are so intertwined?
Well, that's a pretty big question. Pretty difficult to answer quickly. There's a lot involved in that when you say culture and politics and sport. People write books about that. So I would hesitate to take that on as a whole. It makes more sense to me to be a little bit more specific. And I'll just tell you what we say to our team. Each one of them has the right and the ability to say what they would like to say and act the way they'd like to act. And they have our full support. And no matter what they might want to do or not do is important to them, respected by us, and there's no recrimination, no matter what might take place, unless it's, you know, ridiculously egregious, but there's a line for everything. I think that we do live in a difficult time, and it doesn't do a whole lot of good. We all know the situation, and it gets beaten up every day by talking heads, and you know, it starts to get personal, and I think we all know why. We all know where the source is, where a lot of the division comes from. But to dwell on that sometimes I think is the wrong way to go, because it's so obvious now. It's boring. You know, the childishness and the gratuitous fear-mongering and race-baiting has been so consistent that it's almost expected. You know, the bar has been lowered so far that I think it's more important to be thinking about what to do at a more organic roots-based, you know, level, thinking about the efforts to restrict voter registration. Comments that demean cultures, ethnic groups, races, women, those sorts of things. You know, what can be done in an organic way to fight that? Because we know how everything happens. We know where the power in the country is. We know the racism that exists. But it's gone beyond that to the point where I'm more worried about and more confused by the people around our president. These are intelligent people who know exactly what's going on, who were basically very negative about his actions, but now it seems that it's condoned. And, you know, we saw it this weekend with his comments about people that should be fired or people that shouldn't be allowed to do this sort of thing. I wonder what the people think about who voted for him, where their line is, how much they can take, where does the morality and the decency kick in. And I understand very well, they didn't like their choice economically. A lot of people had a problem. And he was the right guy at the right time to tap into that mood. And people overlooked one hell of a lot to be able to pull that trigger and vote in that direction. But it was because they wanted change. They felt ignored. They actually thought something would happen that would aid them. But at what price is the question? And as we see the actions over and over and over again, one wonders what is in their heads, and have they come to the conclusion that they had the wrong vehicle? They might have had good ideas and good reasons why they wanted to go the way they went, but someone else that had a little bit more decency about how they approach other people and other groups might have served better. And that's what I worry about in the country. You wonder about if you live where you thought you lived. I just heard a comment this morning from a NASCAR owner and from Mr. Petty that just blew me away. Just blew me away, where the owner described the fact that he would get the Greyhound bus tickets for anybody to leave and they'd be fired. And Mr. Petty, who said people who act the way we saw on Sunday, they should leave the country. That's where I live. I had no idea that I lived in a country where people would actually say that sort of thing. I'm not totally naive, but I think these people have been enabled by an example that we've all been given. And you've seen it in Charlottesville and on and on and on. That's not a surprise. Get over it. You know, what do we do to get it done? To go to the grassroots and not allow this to happen again. Our country's an embarrassment in the world. This is an individual who actually thought that when people held arms during the games that they were doing it to honor the flag. That's delusional. Absolutely delusional. But it's what we have to live with. So you got a choice. We can continue to bounce our heads off the wall with his conduct, or we can decide that the institutions of our country are more important, that people are more important, that the decent America that we all thought we had and want is more important, and get down to business at the grassroots level and do what we have to do. I guess that's enough for now.
Great job of not taking that on.
Thank you.
Whether your players kneel or stand for the national anthem, they'll be judged one way or another. Are you empathetic?
If they stand on their heads, somebody will say something. Somebody will say it was great. If they kneel, it'll be 50-50. If they stand, it's 50. You know, it's that can't be your criteria, what somebody's going to think. It's got to be what you feel and what you think will do some good, you know, overall. So who's to judge that?
About considering the platform you have, do you consider responsibility for you to speak out on these types of things? And it's a similar platform to what NFL players have. Is that something that you feel you owe?
Well, I don't think about some platform that I have. I'm an individual. I live in this country. I have a right to say and think what I want. It's got nothing to do with, you know, my position. If it helps somebody else think one way or the other about something, great. But the discussion has to take place. You know, it's you know, obviously, you know, race is the elephant in the room, and we all understand that. But unless it is talked about constantly, it's not going to get better. People get bored. Oh, is it that again? They pull in a race card again. Why do we have to talk about that? Well, because it's uncomfortable. And there has to be an uncomfortable element in the discourse for anything to change. You know, whether it's the LGBT movement or, you know, women's suffrage, race, it doesn't matter. People have to be made to feel uncomfortable, and especially white people, because we're comfortable. We still have no clue of what being born white means. And if you read some of the, you know, recent literature, you'll realize it really is no such thing as whiteness. But we've kind of made it up. That's not my original thought, but it's true. And it's hard to sit down and decide that, yes, it's like you're at the 50, you know, the 50 meter mark in a 100 meter dash. And you got that kind of a lead. Yes, because you were born white, you have advantages that are systemically, culturally, psychologically there. And they've been built up and cemented for hundreds of years. But many people can't look at it. It's too difficult. It can't be something that is on their plate on a daily basis. People want to hold their position. People want the status quo. People don't want to give that up. And until it's given up, it's not going to be fixed. Again, I'm just one dude walking around, and that's how I feel.
As a member of the NBA family, were you insulted by the fact that the Warriors' invitation was rescinded?
Well, I thought it was comical that it was rescinded, because they weren't going anyway. So it's like a sixth grader is going to have a party in his backyard, and he finds out somebody, you know, might not come, so he disinvites him. But again, I think the behavior, although it's disgusting, it's also comical. Well, if we've done anything to widen people's cultural or, you know, intellectual horizons, that I guess that's great. But, you know, we don't have the answers. I just think being aware is important. You know, basketball is our job, but we have lives. We have children and grandchildren and friendships and ups and downs in all of our lives. And I think that it's important for our players to understand that the world they live in is complicated, especially today, for all the reasons that we know. So whatever we can do to make players aware of their emotions, their feelings, and consequences thereof, I think it's part of our responsibility. And yes, there will be pick and roll and transition defense. We're going to have fill sessions. I'm going to try not to curse, but I probably will.
Papa, quick,
No, I'm sorry.
Sorry,
If somebody should cut me off, please, please, somebody, give me the hook.
Pau Gasol coming off, you know, playing for the Spanish national team. Is there a different approach to his preseason, or is he just, you know, the same thing as all the other guys?
Yeah, he'll go a little bit more slow. You know, everybody's different. You know, Manu will step out of certain things because he's older. Pau has been busy, you know, that kind of thing. So we'll have to alter programs depending on what people's situation might be. Yeah.
Marcus was up here earlier and admitted some frustration in the past about how to best help the team and how to fit. Are those conversations you have with him, continue to have with him?
Yeah, those are all legitimate. You know, this is a guy that, you know, played for 9 years, I believe, before he came here. And it takes time to get used to a program that is not just new, but when you've got 9 years under your belt doing something different. So his concerns are totally legitimate. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, what we can do to make him more comfortable and to make our team better. But having said that, you know, I think we're mostly talking about offense. Defense, he was fantastic for us. I thought it was one of his better defensive years in his career. You know, whether it's blocking shots or changing shots, individual defense, team defense, I thought he took that on wonderfully, and that's what we primarily asked him to do. So now we've got to help him a little bit more so that he's comfortable in his own space offensively, and I haven't done a very good job of that.
From what you've seen, how impressed or have you been impressed with the progress of some of the younger players like DeJounte?
Yeah, you know, I hate to praise all the young players too much this early in the season. I like to let them show some things and earn some minutes. But, you know, we've had an open gym and they've all been here working very hard. Some of them had, you know, great summers. It's hard to deny that Bryn Forbes had a great summer. I feel good because I didn't call him Bryn Mawr. I've called him Bryn Mawr I don't know how many times, but he had a wonderful summer. You know, we were thrilled that Rudy decided to join us. You know, he's a really talented young man. I think there's some things he wants to prove, and he's highly intelligent. He understands the game, so it's a wonderful addition for us.
With him coming off the injury, is he a guy you're going to take it slow with early?
Yeah, of course. You know, an Achilles is an Achilles, but he's also come back more quickly than we thought he would. But we'll be very patient and make sure that we're not going too quickly with that.
Coach, I want to ask you about Tim Duncan's charity work for his home.
Tim's out here somewhere. He's dying, or he said, you know, nobody cares about me anymore. He just wants to get his picture taken. He's always been like that. Always wanted to jump in front of the camera.
Tell me about that. When he stepped in front of the camera to do this, what were your thoughts?
I forgot the first part because I was riffing over here.
When he decided to actually step in front of the camera,
I was very, very proud of him, because for somebody who really does dislike being the front man or in front of the camera, he took the lead solely for the good of other people and was willing to, quote unquote, sort of eat it and do what he needed to do to help a large group of people. So he did a fine job, and he's still at it. Right.
How convincing did you have to? Was he really just ready to
retire? I didn't try to convince him at all. I just don't think that's a good idea. I think players have to make their own decisions. I'm sure he knew that I would like to have him back, but convincing, I left that up to he and Monty and the family.
You think the league's done enough to come away around it? Y'all's way of thinking as far as less back-to-backs, four games of 5 nights, starting a little bit early?
Oh, sure. The league, in the last 2 years, they've been remarkable. It's taken a long time, but under Adam Silver's leadership, he has bent over backwards to try to figure this stuff out. You know, whether it's resting players, which we would never have a part in, you know, listening to the players and the coaches and the GMs about the schedule and what could help the players even be more productive and have longer careers. They've been fantastic. It's been a great dialogue between the NBA and the coaches and general managers and players. So they get nothing but credit for what they've tried to do.
It also sounds like they're committed to emphasizing the defender guarding the closing the closeouts of the defender
out,
that kind of got Kawhi in trouble last year.
Right. You know, it's always been, you know, if there's something that might be dangerous to a player, the league has always tried to address that, and that can be a dangerous play. Sometimes it happens inadvertently, but, you know, to go under that player who's shooting is not a good idea. And I think it happens a lot of the time just because both bodies are moving toward each other at such speed, and you can't just stop instantaneously. But to have an emphasis on it, I think, helps players understand that, you know, nobody wants to end somebody's career. Okay. Have a good day, everybody. Okay.